we know that mystery schools existed. We know that different nations had different versions of the mystery schools. These mystery cults are a matter of fact. They're a matter of history.
We have the Eleusinian mysteries in Greece. We have the Druids in France and England. We have the Mithrans and Zoroastrians in Persia. We have the Hindus and the Buddhists, of course, in the Far East. You know, and if you look over in America, although I'm not sure Jesus was in America before his ministry, he may have been afterwards, you have others like the Mayans and the Kahunas of Hawaii, the Polynesian Islands. You have these mystery traditions reflected in every culture of the world, really.
Well, and I would probably differ with you on that definition. I think that I would not put the Druids in the mystery school tradition. I would put them in the earth-based religion tradition, and there's no shame in that. I mean, I think that the Druids had, from what we know about the original Druidic traditions, they were very cool. But I don't know that I wouldn't put them in the same category as I would the mystery cults of, say, the Middle East or of ancient Rome or Greece.
Oh, well, Ian, you just wait till you get to that portion of the Celtic section of the book, because I talk about the fact that, you know, we don't really, most of us, when we think about the Druids, and you probably know more than the average bear, but most of us think about, you know, hey, they were, you know, killing people on the altar and sacrificing them and dancing around Stonehenge. That's kind of what we know today. But in fact, the Druids had 60 universities and over 60,000 students there for the intellectual and the elite, not only in their own countries, but throughout all of Europe, and particularly Rome, Italy, and the countries surrounding Jesus. The wealthy sent their sons and daughters there to be trained, and a full course of study was 20 years. And most of us don't know this, but you can find these historic references in the annals of Julius Caesar, who, of course, predated Jesus by, what, about 30 years or so.
Right. Well, granted, I'm just saying, based on conversations I've had with Druids on this show and what we talk about, but fair enough. I mean, that may be a different definition than yours too, but that's sure. I don't want to get in the weeds on that. Here's what I'm trying to say is that there's many different ways to define, in some cases, what the mystery tradition meant in one place versus somewhere else. So for people who don't know about the mystery schools in general, it would kind of a broad brush. What is it that the mystery traditions were teaching at the time?
Okay, well, most of these chapters had three levels of initiation, and you can sort of see this depicted in sort of the three-step crown of Isis, the I Am principle of the Divine Mother. The Isis, of course, is an Egyptian goddess of wisdom and healing. In the first level, they taught the feminine mysteries, which, of course, in most of Christianity and Muslim and Jewish paths, we've kind of lost a lot of that. These were the foundational wisdom teachings. They taught the earth sciences and healing in particular, with plants, with trees, with energetic abilities to send energy through your hands, to do laying on of hands. They were working a lot, too, with the sciences in the first level of initiation. The second level of initiation was the mysteries of the Divine Father. So we have the Mother first, the Father second. And the third level was the mastery of the two, which, of course, if you leave out either the masculine or the feminine, you can never really get to mastery, which has been one of our many challenges. But what was so interesting to me about what they taught, they knew that the Divine Mother comes into the world again and again and again and again. That's why she was called She of 10,000 Names and 10,000 Faces. And, you know, when you start listing the names of the goddess from, you know, Durga to Kali to, you know, Kuan Yin to Mary, you know, you can go on and on and on. And I teach goddess work. That's one of the many traditions that I have training in. But with the Divine Masculine, they taught that the Divine Father never came into the world directly. He came in through his sons, and these were called the four great Kumaras. And Jesus was one of them. He's the one that was known as Sananda Kumara. The head of the Great White Brotherhood, or the Fellowship of Light, is Sanat Kumara, who oversees the enlightenment, not just of this world, but of many, many other worlds. And then you have two others who also we can identify on the planet. Sananka Kumara, who was Thoth, the great god of wisdom, who set up mystery schools all over the planet. And finally, Sanandana, or Sanansana, and he's the one they say who incarnates the least often. They say he comes only in times of greatest darkness, where it looks like the dark will win. And it seems like his particular MO is, you know, all of them are kind of shepherds, healers, lovers of music, lovers of humanity. But in his case, he has to pony up and basically raise an army and fight back the dark in a literal way. So his profile would fit Horus. It would fit Rama from the Ramayana, or Krishna from the Mahabharata. These are, you know, these stories are very similar in terms of theme. With Jesus, Sananda Kumara, his profile seems to be he comes into the world, he travels the world, he enlightens and helps humanity, he's taken out by the dark forces, he dies, and then he's resurrected, or he resurrects himself. In an earlier, let us say, I believe, incarnation of this soul, because the profile is so similar, you have Osiris, who for thousands and thousands of years was holding the energy of the Christ consciousness in ancient Egypt. So Osiris, you know, in fact, that's where we get the word Christ today. Osiris and Serapis, his derivative, his Greek derivative, was called the Christ, K-R-S-T. And we pronounce it, of course, Christ. And, you know, I talk about all this stuff with the documentation in the book. So Osiris and Jesus are, their profile seems to be that they come into the world to heal and enlighten, and then to show us that by the loss of the physical mortal body, that that is only a temporary part of us, that we as souls are immortal, and through being conscious and being aligned with the divine God force, that we can claim this aspect, the Christ within us.